Hey, everybody, it's Dan.
And Bran.
Maybe you noticed that the Christmas Prince episodes 1 and 2 with Alonzo were removed from the playlist on your favorite podcast player. Well, they're back.
Oh, thank God.
And they're better than ever, Bran.
I would say so.
Because we made a few edits. In listening back, we want to always be mindful about what we say and how we say it, even in jest. And we made some comments about specifically Meghan Markle that we found not really appropriate in looking back on things. We want to be above board. We want to be above reproach. And we want to honor the fact that people have had real experiences and had stuff happen in their life that maybe doesn't always need to be made
fun of. That's right. Comparing Meghan Markle and what she went through to what Amber's going through in this fictional universe with this fictional family and things that don't really matter
at all
wasn't cool. And we're sorry.
We're sorry. And hopefully we've learned this lesson and you will learn it too. And we can fail forward and be better in the future. So we hope you enjoy the new and improved Christmas Prince 1 and 2, and Christmas Prince 3 comes out this Monday.
Bye.
This is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Oh, hi, I'm Bran, and I'm just over here loving Netflix Christmas movies.
Oh, hi, I'm Dan, and I'm right here despising Netflix Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo, and I'm over here having subscribed to Netflix movies, so why not?
And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Monday. I did think this was a much more successful intro with Alonzo. Yeah,
It was a great intro.
Maybe our best ever.
Now, Alonzo.
And we did it on the first take, which is crazy.
First take. They call me First Take Fran.
First Take Fran is what they call you? All right. All right, Fran.
Thank you. I did have some friends in high school that call me Fran for reasons I don't know.
Instead of Bran?
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
Wow.
Yeah. So just call me Fran.
All right, Fran. I'll do it.
Alonzo, this is so exciting. We have made it through the first weekend of March Madness, and no one takes it more seriously than you. You did fill out a bracket for the double-decker tournament challenge, which has just been a huge success
this year. And I want to be clear, we're not through the first weekend because the games are on
they
Monday
do happen tonight. Right. That is right. It's a very weird year. But how are you looking so far, Alonzo? How's it going for you, pal?
I'm so confident that I'm just not even looking
at
it is what it is, you know, and it's going to do what it's going
to
do.
Amen.
It's a ton of fun to do that every year because you get to see people that know nothing about basketball doing really well. And it's like when you were talking about the Oscar pool and, other people would do better in the Oscar pool or like you pick some game, like it just mere mortals. We all are is what I'm trying to say.
It's the sitcom where the guys get together and play poker and then the one dorky guy insists on getting invited and he doesn't know how to play. And then he like creams everybody.
That's right. Yeah. It's that thing.
Well, the good news is, Alonzo, is I was talking to Tyler Hines last week and I said, buddy, do you want to join our tournament challenge? And he was like, this is for football? And I said, no, not football, basketball. And he said, is that the sport where they all like just touch each other a lot? And I'm like, there is some touch. So he did not join the tournament.
God bless
him. But I did send him a quick little summary of what March Madness is. So he does know what it is now.
Thank goodness.
Hey, Fran, here's that name you dropped.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, hold on. I'll get back to you soon, Candace Cameron.
Yeah, her friends don't call her Bure. They call her Candace Cameron.
Absolutely, absolutely.
They call her CC. That's right, Candy Cam. Candy Cam.
Well, that's because I know that her and her husband are on the outskies.
Really? You're announcing that on Monday. Is Candace Cameron maybe getting divorced, a cardinal sin in the Christian church.
I am just preparing myself for it.
Okay, all right. That's a big scoop.
I'm still rooting for them, but I am preparing myself, and that slipped out.
What's Mr. Bure's first name?
Hockey.
John, Jaunty Beret.
Andy Beret. I don't know.
He plays hockey, doesn't he?
Raspberry? Is it
Wasn't
Raspberry
Beret? Oh,
there we go.
Raspberry Beret. I'm sure they're doing
fine.
You know
what? They have a vineyard, right? They should put out a line called Raspberry Beret.
They're leaving money on the table.
Yeah,
I mean, come on. We just hire us for crying out loud, Candace. All we do is say nice things.
You do not need to come on the podcast, but for the love of God, give us some of that.
That's right. That wine
vineyard money.
You know the kind.
I know the kind. Believe you me. Are we ready?
From one queen of Hallmark to the future queen of Aldovia.
You said it, my friend. We are going back a few years to the first of the Christmas princes. We're talking about a Christmas prince. It originally aired on November 17th, 2017, and it went a little something like this. Just before Christmas, there is a young journalist by the name of Amber who is sent to a foreign nation called Aldovia to cover Prince Richard. Now, there's a lot of rumors going on about Prince Richard because his father recently passed away, and Richard has been portrayed by the press to be quite the playboy, and he's also rumored to be planning to not follow in his father's footsteps, to give up the throne. Now, Amber is given this assignment, so she's hoping that she can get some big scoop, but it does require her to be gone during the holiday season. So she heads across the pond, and when she gets there, she tries to get a cab, and some guy with quite the beard steals the cab and is like, sorry, chip, got a blast. So she heads to the royal family's palace for a press conference. The prince is a big old no-show. Amber doesn't want to head home without any scoops, so she decides to snoop around the palace, which I guess is easier than you might think. Luckily for her, there is a new American tutor that is supposed to be coming to be the new tutor for Princess Emily. Princess Emily is classic princess, where she like hates the new person at first, and then once, you know, she like acts like you're kind of normal, then she loves her. You know the kind, Crown for Christmas. You get it.
Yeah, I get it.
You get it.
Mulligan's too. We're here.
Mulligan's too. Don't you know it? So Amber meets the royal family, and including Richard. She realizes, oh, that's the taxi guy who I was also kind of rude to. He was rude to me. It's a whole thing. Amber and Emily go outside. They see Richard shooting some bow and arrows. They do it too. Big fun, big chuckles. Amber is at this party and learns that Emily learns from Emily that Richard is has this jealous cousin named Simon, who is next in line for the throne. So he's kind of wanting, you know, Richard to bow out so he can take the throne. There's also this woman named Sophia, who Richard suspects is only interested in him for the future title. Amber also likes Richard at this point and is kind of falling for this guy. What's a guy to do? Emily learns the truth about Amber's identity because she kept her password close to her like computer and agrees to keep it a secret as long as Amber writes a nice story that shows Richard for the good man that he is. Naturally, we do get some nice things to say about Richard when he's, having a snowball fight with the orphans. Amber and Richard and Emily, they get into quite the snowball fight themselves, and Amber and Richard get real close to each other. Amber follows Richard on horseback through the woods. Less creepy than it sounds. The horse throws her off. She's nearly attacked by a wolf. Luckily, Richard shows up and is like, hey, get away! Richard then takes Amber to this cabin in the woods, again, less creepy than it sounds, and kind of opens up about how he's feeling not so sure about the throne and how his father wrote this poem, and I don't understand what it means. And then they almost kiss. They're interrupted by the Nay! speaking of a horse. Richard goes to check that out, and Amber does some more snooping and finds, thank God, in a short amount of time, a hidden compartment in his in the desk, and there's a folder in it. She smuggles the folder back to the palace, and she finds out that Richard was adopted.
Danny's adopted?
Richard was adopted. Richard doesn't know. This is a big deal because if you're adopted in this village,
I can't.
You're not real. You're not a real kid. You're not a real child. You're not the heir of the throne if you're adopted.
Boy.
So this is some serious stuff. She doesn't know what to do with this information. She doesn't want to publish it because she's starting to fall for this guy and there's real stakes. But she also, it's her job. And what do I do? What do I do? So Sophia finds out. She goes snooping in Amber's room, finds the adoption certificate. She's like, I'm going to use this. Don't you worry. It's time for a big party. They're dancing. They're slow dancing. They have a wonderful night together. And Richard is basically, he's announcing that he's going to do it. I'm going to follow my father's footsteps. And that is when Simon and Sophia are like, we got the scoop, everybody! Holds up the certificate like a WWE belt and is like, look at what we have here. Everybody is very shocked by this, but no one more so than Simon, who's been kept in the dark from his parents his entire life and stabbed in the back by the girl that he's falling for. Tough luck, pal. Amber goes after him and he's like, get out of here. I'm not having it from you right now. So it's time for Simon to finally be crowned the king, and what are they going to do? How are they going to fix this? Well, Amber decides she has an epiphany where she remembers the poem, and she remembers this ginormous acorn that they put on their tree, and it all comes together. She goes to get the acorn. She opens up the acorn. There's a letter inside of it from the king who says, hey, for now on, adoption's real. You are a real kid, and you can be the king. And so she goes, and just as Simon is about to get the crown on top of his head, she says, no, don't do it. And so everybody's very excited because Simon's the worst. And finally, Richard can be the king. Now, flash forward about a week. It's New Year's Eve. Amber's back in New York City at her dad's
Rudy's
diner. And they're counting down, and she hears, there's a snowball on the window. That's the sound of a snowball on the window. She goes outside. It is Richard, and he's like, hey, turns out, still love you. Would love if you would get married to me. Proposes. She's kind of like, I don't know, playing the long game there. Finally says yes. And that, my friends, was a Christmas Prince.
We did it.
Guys, long one, but lots to talk
long
about.
Long one. It was one of your better ones.
Thank
Had
you.
A lot of pop to it.
Lots of pop. Lots to talk about. We're going to get to all of it. And more.
And more. We're going to get to all of that. What's the more?
You'll find Razzle Dazzle.
Yeah.
You know the kind. We'll be right back
long
here.
Long overdue.
On Dyke the Hallmark. We're back, everybody.
Oh,
we're
boy.
Talking A Christmas Prince, the Netflix mega hit
mega
from 2017.
Hit. Yeah.
I'm very excited to break this one down. It has been a little bit since I saw it. I was happy to watch it again. Alonzo, I'm sure you had seen it. Dan, I'm going to go out on a limb and say a no-go for you.
pretty good guess.
Let's start with the hot take where we share exactly what we felt about this movie. Alonzo, how'd you feel on this watch of this movie?
Wow, I'll tell you, 2017 was a different time.
It sure was.
Watching this again made me realize how much this program has changed my life. Because I'll tell you, the first time I watched this movie, I was sort of taking it at face value. And, you know, it's like, okay, I see what you're doing here. And I see why this is like people who think people who think they don't want to watch a Hallmark movie but secretly do want to watch a Hallmark movie will watch this on Netflix and feel like whatever. Now watching it, I'm like, oh my God, this movie is an amalgam of A Royal Christmas,
yes,
and Crown for Christmas and all these other ones. And I'm like, you know, I didn't know. I was blissfully ignorant then, but
it
now
is
I
trope
know too much.
City.
Yes.
It is so tropey. It is so, like, we have seen everything from the arrow in the painting to the adorable,
yes,
orphans. It was just like ding, ding, ding. So the folks who wrote this definitely knew their hallmark in 2017 way more than I did. That said, this thing works, I guess. I mean, the prince is a bit of a stiff. We'll get into that. But, you know, it is Trope City. But if you're here for the tropes, you know, like I wish Panda were sitting in on this because he does love a royal movie. And this is giving you all the royalty. Yeah,
this is everything he could possibly
want. It is a lot of royal. Yeah. I will say, similar for me, I watched this back in 2017 and I loved it. And times have changed. And I've seen a lot of these. And this one is now just kind of, it is what it is. It's there.
Greatest hit.
It's the greatest hits. That's exactly right. It's fine. I enjoyed it. I didn't like it as much as I liked it the first time. This is stale. Stale cookies. And
man,
so,
you are coming in hot today.
Stale cookies.
CCB's getting divorced and stale cookies.
Guys, I did get word. That was not for me to share, everybody.
So it is still true, but you shouldn't have shared it. Perfect. It's even better.
Allegedly.
That's right.
I'm sure they're doing fine. Yeah, still cookies.
Good one. The thing about a Nickelback greatest hits album is it's still Nickelback. I the whole time I was watching this movie, I'm like, they took all of the things from all of these other terrible movies and they made a new terrible Mulligan Stew right here for us.
A hoagie, if you will.
Yeah, a hoagie from Aldovia, an Aldogie. It is just a bad. Are you okay?
That's good.
I'm proud to be a hoagie from Aldovia.
Yeah, we could write a whole soundtrack. The first royal Christmas movie I saw was A Crown for Christmas, and I do believe there is something to the order that you watch these movies in, because that one seems to make all the rest of them look even worse. Crown for Christmas still is the best royal movie that I've seen.
It's very good.
But I don't know if that's because it's good or because all these other, like, they're all terrible.
Very good.
Yeah.
We're
the Millers. I don't remember. It's something like that. Yeah. It's something ridiculous like that. But it's just it's just unfortunate in a lot of ways. But if you like royal movies, I mean, you could do a lot worse, I would assume. There's a whole lot of Wait What's. It's a tough watch. And this is the first Netflix movie I've watched where this felt exactly like a Hallmark movie. The other ones that we've seen have, in my opinion, had a more than a slight uptick in production value and just movie making quality. This one felt like it was a Hallmark movie. It was just like 9 minutes longer.
This was willing to give us Gay Best Friend back in 2017. That's true. Hallmark was not ready.
That's true.
Yet.
Well, it does a lot of things like that way. It's a very two step forwards, eight steps back with adopted kids aren't people though. And I feel like I do have to make that clear that yes, we do get Gay Best Friend, openly Gay Best Friend in 2017, but somehow adoption in Aldovia is just a like Aldovia was founded.
I think that's the progress we're all wanting. Yeah, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
Somehow Bob Jones and Jerry Falwell got together and founded Aldovia. I don't know. I gotta, what's happening right now.
Oh man, is Bob notorious for not liking adoption?
No, I just was trying to think of something that someone that was legalistic. I feel like they were very much on board with adoption, but they probably would introduce them as their adopted kids.
Oh yeah,
that's probably what they would do, which is the worst thing ever.
These are my kids. Also, we adopted one. Aside from all the feels part of the show, we talk about what this movie gave us those feels, Alonzo.
You know, I'll tell you, I'm a big Alice Krieg fan going way back, you know, Borg Queen and,
Who's Alice Krieg?
She plays the queen in this movie.
Oh, okay. Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, sorry. She's, come on. She was on Star Trek. I thought we had something.
Unless it's Dr. Quinn being the queen, I'm not interested.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. She was the Borg queen on Star Trek. And she's, you know, a Canadian actress, like, done, you know, like, very cool stuff over the years. Her big toboggan scene, I thought, this is nice. This isn't, I get what they're doing here. They're playing around with the thing. You think she's going to be all, you know, Queen Dr. Quinn about it and just scold. But she's like, and next time ask me, you know, that was nice. There is a Christmas market in this movie, yeah, which I'm always a sucker for. Lots of snow feels.
Lots of Snowfields.
Yeah. Lots of Snowfields. I will definitely give them that. And again, like, I think Netflix very often with these, as we saw with Dumbo Drop or whatever, they're like, you know, well, we don't have to do the snow thing. We're going to be tropical. But this time they go full snow.
How dare you besmirch the name of the Dennis Leary classic Operation Dumbo Drop? Who do you think you are? This is why people don't like film critics.
Oh, there's so many reasons why people don't like
Have you heard of that movie?
I have heard of it. Okay. I don't know anything about it.
All right, cool. They drop an elephant from a plane. It's a true story. Go ahead.
It is. Yes.
Elephant, okay?
Yeah, it makes it.
Yeah. Thank God. It's a parachute.
Those ears.
Exactly. That's how it works. And, you know, there's a lot of kissing big wins in this movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, points for that, that they don't save it all for the last 30 seconds. So, you know, I was not feelless by the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, mine is just the ending with the snowball on the window and her face when she looks out, expecting to be annoyed at these kids who are throwing snowballs as the clock is winding down. And then the joy, the surprise upon her face was magnificent. Gave me all the feels. I loved it. Big ups, big fans.
You know, that scene is the detraction there is that they had to do the thing first where her friends get the snowball. Like, it was so unnecessary for her friends to have somebody outside to throw snowballs at them first before them. Like, they could have just been like, hey, we're leaving. It would have made it better, in my opinion.
No, it's a setup payoff, Dan.
Yeah, it's a setup payoff.
I mean, I'm just trying to shave 9 minutes.
I will say they definitely like they brought it back very fast.
Yeah.
Like maybe if they did that,
she's like again. No, just kidding. My feels. I hate to bring this up because the movie does a great job of not. There is a seamless integration of a character with a disability in this film. It's wonderful. The princess has spina bifida. They mention it one time, and the rest of the movie, it is not a sob story. The violins aren't playing. She's just a character in this story and does a great job. And I really have to give this movie props for that, of just integrating people of all kinds into a story and making it people first language the whole movie long. That is just not something in the world of watching Hallmark for 3 years that I'm used to, where every dead parent and every cancer diagnosis and every disability is played to the hilt. To see this and to see it integrated so seamlessly in a really bad movie, it's really good. Like I was so happy to see it. It was wonderful.
I'm gonna yes and you on that one. What I also like is the fact that the reason that Princess Emily winds up bonding with Amber is because Amber doesn't like coddle her or treat her differently.
That's right.
And so it's not even just that this isn't a sob story. It's that she insists on not being handled like a sob story. And it's when somebody finally comes along that does it, that's what makes them friends.
Yep. 100%
agree. I got those feels though in The Christmas Bell this last year with the sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
She,
Yeah.
They did a good job. I don't remember the, what her diagnosis was, but like they mentioned it and it's something that she, you know.
Yeah. I felt like that movie was still trying to play more to the heartstrings in general because they use the dimension
strings,
of these,
I see their strings. I see that.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie, there's zero, even thought of trying to get sympathy out of it. It's just, yeah. This is a character. She's a princess. She's a handful. She's run through all the nannies. Let, you know.
Classic. Yes. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do the Wait Whats.
Okay.
And I think we're going to have a good time doing it.
Yeah. Is Candace on the line? To straighten out any of those rumors?
I'm being told no, but Trace is going to try.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
See what happens when we get back here on Deck the Hallmark.
Yeah, Trace, you get any luck there?
I did. Basically, she wanted me to forward you this message, which is shove off.
Shove off?
Yeah.
Man, that is harsh for Bure. Yeah.
Also, she said not true.
Not true. Not true on the divorce or not true on shove off?
I will get back to you on that.
Okay, thank you, Trace. Appreciate that. Much appreciated.
Why would she say shove off and then say not true about the shove off?
Maybe Trace made it up. Like Trace didn't actually talk to her.
No, I think she talked.
Okay, you think she did?
Shove
off. But wouldn't put her on the line.
She wouldn't.
Yeah.
Shove off. Okay, shove off.
You say so. Shove off.
It's time for Wait What. It's the part of the show where we talk about what in this movie made us go, wait, what? Alonzo.
Well, you guys have touched on the whole adoptive thing, which is bananas. Yeah. Because, so first of all, you have a country where adoptive children are not allowed to take the throne. You have the king and queen of the country adopting anyway and somehow managing to keep it a secret all
from
this
everyone.
Time. From everyone in the world's tiniest country. And then at the end, put yourself in the shoes of Princess Emily, who hears that her father has changed the law so that his adoptive son can take the throne, but has not changed the law to stop Aldobia from being a patriarchy where only a man can take the throne.
Yeah. You know, when you put it like that, Aldobia kind of sucks.
Yeah. Well, it's like Coming to America does the same nonsense just to get a plot out of it. You know, it's like you had all this time, Eddie Murphy, and you never bothered to change your country's constitution or whatever so that one of your three daughters could take the throne.
Well,
shut up.
And then to kind of cherry on that Sunday is that he finds out he's adopted, Danny's adopted, and he is like, he runs off and the mom comes in and he's over it in like a half a second. Like even in TV time, that was lightning quick. I mean, that's years to unpack and he's just like, yeah, no. I'm in. Let's do it.
And that's with 9 extra minutes.
That's right. You get 9 extra minutes there and it's still quick.
Also, can I suggest that if you are a tabloid reporter who has somehow miraculously managed to go undercover inside a palace, that you would A, not leave your password next to your laptop where any child could find it, and then later on, maybe not leave adoption papers strewn about the bedroom where no goodniks can then sneak into your, pick your lock and get into your room and find everything. She's a terrible journalist.
Yeah, not good. Yeah. Cavalier with classified information would be an understatement, I feel like.
The least, yeah.
Buy like a briefcase or something. Anything really will do.
Jeez.
Put it under the mattress. Like, seriously. Try. Yeah. Come on. And then the whole thing with the horse and the wolves is just a little bananas.
Yeah.
That she would steal a horse, follow him, not figure out how to like not be a good enough horse equestrian to like not get knocked over like that. And then the whole thing with the wolf, like that's the one moment that they stole from Beauty and the Beast.
Now I have never seen a wolf in the wild, but I did look it up and I was correct in the fact that you do not sit down when you see the wolf. You don't go, she looks at that wolf and goes, okay, don't panic, I remember my training. Sit down.
She thought it was a bear. Yeah. She thought it was a bear and she had to play dead.
And kids, if you're listening out there, what you do is you actually make yourself taller, look the wolf in the eye, and back up slowly while maintaining eye contact.
And say, stop it.
Yeah. It's actually the same thing I do if I see Candace Cameron Bure.
She said, shove off, Dan.
Shove off.
That's off. Fair.
Yeah.
That's
wolf, fair. Let's sit and have a tea party.
Stupid.
That's all I got.
All right. I have a handful, if you will bear me the time. Dan?
I'll bear you the time.
None of the regular writers could go investigate the royal family?
Yeah, no kidding.
She is sending a first-time reporter to go investigate the royal family.
Yeah.
Because none of the regulars.
Yeah, but it's Aldovia, okay? It's not the big, you know.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's enough to make tabloids.
Apparently. They're not a tabloid. They're like a
Playboy Richie. No, I'm saying they show tabloids of Richie over there. Why was she trying to get in a cab in the first place if there's a bunch of press vans that are taking you to the palace? Why is she trying to get in the cab?
I have no idea.
I figured the fans went to the hotel and she had to take the cab to the hotel, but who knows?
Okay. No, that's fair.
Why does he need to take a cab when certainly the royals have like some drivers?
Because how else are we going to see him in that ridiculous beard?
Oh, man, that beard.
I think he looked
great. Was in the States for years.
Yeah.
He was having a fun time for full Grizzly Adams over there.
Like, in the Merchant Marines, apparently. That's right. He should have the old spice bag slung over his shoulder.
I got a couple more. I would say, and this goes back to her not being a good journalist, but I will say if you are trying to take secret pictures undercover of a royal family, you should have your phone on silent so it doesn't make the
clicking
camera noise that is going to draw everybody's attention. I wouldn't do it. Every time one of these, whether it's Richard or Simon, they kept going down on both knees.
Weird.
And it made me say what every time. Whenever they were about to get, become the king, it's just like double knee down. And
it was weird.
Threw me off every time.
It was clearly a stylistic choice made by the filmmakers.
It was.
Because it didn't happen once, it happened all movie.
I think that's a coronation stance. I think y'all are thinking about basketball too much. It's like, that's a one knee. This is a two knee for crowns.
Is it really?
Is it?
That shows you what we know.
Based on my limited knowledge of this, I'm pretty sure it's a two-knee sitch.
There is a ginormous poster inside of this diner that says Mexican dishes.
Yep.
It says Mexican dishes.
You know those New York diners, though? They have everything. They have every kind of food. That's what
Mexican dishes.
That's wild.
And champagne on New Year's.
That's right. That's right.
A lot of flat champagne in this movie.
A lot of
just like bubble-less champagne. That's the good stuff.
I'll have one of those Mexican dishes.
Yeah, and some flat champagne if you could.
Specialties of the house coming right up.
On the rocks. If you could water it down some, that'd be awesome.
I don't know what I'm more amazed at. The fact that there's a poster that just says Mexican dishes on it, or that somebody bought it for a movie.
That's right. We're like, yeah,
I'm surprised by Mexican dishes.
Well, this is Canada's idea of what New York looks
that's
like.
That's right.
Yeah, true story.
Maybe probably have a poem, Mexican dishes poster. Yeah. Dan?
There's a line. There's always a line or two early in the movie when they're trying to establish kind of the impetus of the plot moving forward, or like where the character is to start their journey. And sometimes they're worse than others. This is, I don't know why I laugh so hard at this, but her best friend in the office says, "Amber, we're junior editors, not writers." And I, like, for the life of me, if you're in this line of work and you're editing writing, like, to say that you've not climbed the ladder to writer is, that line exists for no other purpose aside from to set up just how low she is on the totem pole, and real bad.
And I've been an editor at a magazine, even a junior editor at a magazine, and let me tell you, we all were expected to be able to write at one point or other.
That's right. You have to write to do that job. Whoever is making this movie is so excited that Americans get to throw around the term abdicate, which we haven't said, I think, since 1783. But we get to say it a lot in this movie early on.
I had to Google it three times. I kept forgetting.
Yeah. The magazine.
Interregnum also.
Yeah, interregnum. Yeah. Not since the Oliver Cromwell.
You can't say that on TV.
Yeah, come on. So it's friendly, family-friendly podcast.
Good Lord.
Shove off, Alonzo. Shove off. Gee. We know things. So
I hardly know Regnum.
There's her boss, the boss lady, big boss lady Jeffries, who is in charge, who's mad because of the story. There's a giant magazine cover in her stone office, an office made entirely of rock, apparently. And the title of the headline of the magazine just says pop singer. That's all it says on it. It doesn't have like a name or world's best. It just says pop singer on it. Like, I mean, I know.
I hear pop singer likes Mexican dishes.
Yeah. They probably got them at the same poster store.
Yeah.
The 2-for-1 special.
She goes by her dad's diner to pick up food, and he's like an Irish bloodhound in a coffee. I don't know what an Irish bloodhound is. Anybody here know?
I can do a quick Google.
But I am amazed that she is going to get in New York City a cup of coffee and whatever is in that bag for $4.95. And that is apparently retail price. I'm very impressed by that. Prince Richard is an expert archer. And by expert archer, it means he cannot hit anywhere near the bullseye from 12 feet away. That's what that means. He is outside shooting a bow and arrow at such a close range, there is a possibility of death from reverberation. He is right beside that bullseye. I don't know if you've ever seen people actually do archery, but it is a long way away. It's not in the same room with you. How in the world, guys? He is literally standing. If he lays down twice, he's at the bullseye. He's there. And he's like, man, can't hit the bullseye. But everybody else can. Father taught me archery when I was a kid. I haven't picked it up since. Like, was he warming up the bow? Was he going to back up at some point? That scene is embarrassing. I just don't, people in Aldovia don't know how to high five. They haven't learned that yet. Mm. I found that to be a little bit suspect. Can we talk about Princess Margaret? What's her name? The little
Emily?
Sister.
Emily.
Princess Emily. The math she is doing. Okay. The actor, I looked her up, is maybe 12 filming this movie. The math she is doing is some college algebra minimum.
Yeah, the math she's doing is the reason why I didn't finish college.
That's right. Like, I just don't understand. Like, what are we... And we're pushing her this hard 3 days before Christmas? Like, 3 days before Christmas, she's got to find, like, the... You know, the cotangent of theta as a 12-year-old? Like, I don't think that's necessary.
It is very important that she be educated for when she never gets to become queen of the country.
That's right. She has to rely on her intelligence because she's too female to be in charge.
She can only be the scheming person next to her brother going,
yeah, exactly. That's
smarter than he is.
Her limit. Can we talk about 30-year-old birth certificates that look like I printed them out this morning? What in the world? Those have been hidden in a drawer for years, and it's like Kinko's worked them up for her. Like,
it should be dot matrix.
Yeah, if I'm Simon, I'm like, hey, that's not proof. I could have made that this morning. That is not proof of anything. Like, the king's seal from that thing in the acorn is old and tattered. Which he wrote last year, right? He wrote that last year. But the adoption paperwork and birth certificates, which are 30 years old, are just crisp and pristine.
You know, maybe they
came out of the same software that she uses to take notes.
Yeah, I don't know how, but 30 years ago, that software existed, clearly.
They've been in the secret compartment for all that time.
In the cabin?
Yeah. Okay. In the woods?
Yeah,
climate control.
In some sort of glass case. And also, it was 1991 and nothing looked that good. Lastly, they're back in the diner at the end of the movie, back in America, and her friends are eating burgers with forks and knives. And I would submit to you to stop. Stop doing that right now. Be an American, for goodness sake. You're in a diner. Do not get your fork and knife after a burger. Don't do it. It's not okay. That's all I got.
Is this a Canada thing?
I don't know, but it's on. They're on the plate. Like, I don't know how else to read that. Like, they're sitting there, and there's a burger. It's like a little pie shape cut out of the burger. I don't know what's going on. Don't make any sense. Yeah.
Not good.
It's time for What the Lifetime. It's the part of the show.
What the Flicks?
What the Flicks?
What the Flicks?
Part of the show where we talk about any questions that we still have. We'd love some answers to. Alonzo?
I have a small one and a big one. The small one is when he finally proposes to her at the end, and one of the first things she says is, "But my career." Her career at this point is blogging.
Yeah. Junior editor, no. Blogger.
Blogger. And the only reason that her blog is currently doing well is because she's writing about him. Yeah. So it's like, you know, lady,
I think it's pretty good for your blog, pal.
Exactly. Attach yourself to that gravy train and don't let go.
That's right.
The bigger issue here is that, okay, you have the media portraying Prince Richard as the last of the famous international playboys. And then you meet him and he is dull as toast. And so I'm thinking that the dullest toast is what the face he puts on at home, like around the family, for the people of Aldovia. But when she really gets to know him, he's going to wind up being like the freak of all time, because there's no way that somebody this boring is like making headlines around the world with his madcap escapades.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
I
agree with that. Maybe all those escapades are misunderstood.
They're just misunderstood.
He's actually helping orphans. Yeah, in all those cases. Orphans.
Yes. Yeah. You guys get it. Shove off. mine is, yeah, Alonzo, you mentioned it, but Emily is able to hack into her computer because she says you kept your password in plain sight. Now, we don't get any more information about where she is keeping her password, but do you still, every time you open up your laptop, you need to remember what you can't remember your password?
Yeah.
You need a reminder? And two, where is she hiding it? Yeah. Where is it?
It's written on a note card. She got off of Great Expectations. It's right there on the laptop.
It's on a memento Polaroid that she taped to the top of it.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine not knowing the password of my, being so insecure about whether or not I can remember the password to my computer that I'm just like, hey, there's a sticky note somewhere. Hope no one tries to get in
it's
it.
It's under the sticky note that says fraud on it.
Fraud?
Deep cut for the kid.
Fraud, question mark?
Fraud.
Password? Yes, no?
What do you think her password was?
Password. One, two, I think three, it was. Four, five, six. Oh, I thought it was. Yeah, that's another good one.
What was it?
Password is good. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or password. I think Dan's right.
Yeah, I like all those. Dan.
One word. Rudy. Rudy. What is this guy? Like, what?
What are you?
Like, I get it. We're not going to have clearly defined characters. But first of all, is she adopted? because there's not a lick of familiarity between the two of them. At one point, he's got a New York accent. At one point, it's a little bit Hispanic. And at one point, it's just kind of like animated character bad guy.
There's a little Italian flair in there,
there's
too.
There's some Italian at some times. I don't know what's happening with this character. I just need a backstory on Rudy. I don't know. Every time he's in a scene, I feel like he's going for something different. I don't know what's happening with him.
He's got a five-alarm chili.
That's right, five-alarm chili. That's right.
Man, I don't know. Even. I don't know how much clearer you can be than Mexican dishes. Yeah. It's in the poster.
Yeah,
it's clear as crystal.
I mean, But was his wife like a precog? Like, how did they get to that? Like, how did they get to her as the spawn with him? Like, he's out of Goodfellas, and the kid is like blonde, pale skin. I don't, like, what happened there? Do you even get the precog joke?
I don't, but I bet it's really good.
I'm proud of it. But
I'm sure it's really good.
You'll get it later.
No, I mean, listen. I am perfectly content not understanding.
Poor Fran.
Poor Fran.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, Trace.
Followed up with CCBs.
Yep.
She says, A, everything's good at home.
Okay, good.
So don't worry.
Okay.
B, shove off.
Okay.
C, God bless.
Okay, good. She said,
yeah. I threw that C.
Okay. Fair enough.
Thank you, Trace.
Thank you so much.
We will shove off.
Shove off.
We did it, everybody.
We did it.
What do you say we do the second one next week?
Oh, please, could we?
Oh, I insist.
Please. Alonzo, have you seen all three?
Of course I have.
Yeah. See,
who are you talking to?
Yeah, he went back to the well. There's no way. But before you watched him, were you like, okay, I guess I got to do this? Or were you excited to watch it?
It's the season I get caught up in things. And then I was talking about it on podcasts. And, you know, this is also that thing where, like, you see the first one and you find other sequels. You're like, well, I guess I'm committed at this point.
Yeah. That's how I've been there for sure.
That third Princess Switch comes down the line. I'm there, you know.
Oof. Boy.
Yep. That's
Princess Switch is different than Christmas Prince.
And it's different than a Christmas Switch. A Princess Switch is what I thought we were doing
last week.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I suspected as much, but I didn't say anything, and I should have said something.
No, please say something. Listen.
Brand's got me over there on a spreadsheet, and I'm just calling out names.
I'm over
and
here.
Putting them on there. I don't know anything about these movies. I don't even want to watch them. And he's like,
I'm over there doing things. And he's like, what about a Christmas Switch? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That's the Michel Gondry one with the precog.
Said no one ever.
That was a good joke.
We did it. Guys, we will be back tomorrow with Don't Go Chasing Water. What is it?
Chasing Waterfalls.
Yeah. So do.
Please do.
Do chase waterfalls.
Don't stick to the rivers.
No.
Get out in other bodies of water, whatever you do.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Is produced by Brandon Gray. Set decor by Plum Haywood Mall. For more information on all Bramble Jam podcasts, you can go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. For more information on how to listen to Deck the Hallmark ad-free, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com.